This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Mike Sumich, rolling through everything, anything and everything out there in the sports world, and already hit. We've hit horse racing. We've hit college basketball. We've hit NBA. We've hit golf. Baseball is coming. This is a well-rounded show so far.
Olympic hockey.
Oh, NFL, NFL win totals. Yeah. We just got a.
So the are we done with, of sports betting?
Are we done with curling? There's no curling handicap, I imagine, to be had. Is curling done?
Curling handicap today.
No, curling over.
It's either over or it is over today. I know that they were doing the medal rounds, but we did not. USA did not have a shot at a medal there. It doesn't look like there's any current curling odds up.
Oh, wow. When I hit the odds over DraftKings, only four-man bobsled is the only thing that is open to bet right now.
Really? I'm seeing more than that.
I mean, of course, the hockey, but like...
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, yeah, that's it.
Oh, you're right. Everything else is down. And Germany has just dominated the bobsled this entire Olympics. If you go into that four-man bobsled there, Germany -900.
Wait. You got to explain this
third
to me.
Sleds.
Wait, you got to explain this.
Both Germans as well.
Why are their names, if it's a four-man, why are their names listed?
The driver is listed as the bobsled because there are multiple German teams. So there's three German teams. The driver is the one listed. So there's Germany 1, Germany 2, Germany 3. Instead of listing 1, 2, and 3, they list the driver in the odds.
Mm, okay. Boy. So all three teams are the three favorites.
Yes. And Germany very good on the bobsled track.
I mean,
there they've been dominating in two man, and they've dominated inside the what was it called, the relay race. So they have a bobsled relay race. Didn't know that was a thing now, where you kind of combine skeleton, bobsled, all these different things. So Germany very good sliding down ice quickly.
Do you know what I didn't know was a thing that I actually go, how does this even become a thing, and how do you figure out if you're good at it or not? Have you seen that there's two man luge? Where the guy just lays on top of the other guy?
Yep. Yeah. Not sure about that one, man.
Who made this up? I mean, like, seriously, who goes, okay, let's do luge, except I'm going to lay on top of you. I mean, like, how did this even happen in the first place?
And how do you end up in the two-man luge? Is it like you're not good enough
right
in the one-man luge, and so you default to the two? Or do you start with the two-man? Do you specialize in the two-man luge?
Here's the thing.
How does this happen?
We could get into some real questions here that eventually are going to maybe, like, get us in trouble. So we can't, like, do this. But, like, how do you figure out who's on top and who's on bottom? What is the role of the driver?
The driver, I believe, is on top. That's how that works.
The driver's on top?
I believe so, yes, because they can see where they're going.
Okay.
The guy on the bottom can't see anything.
So the guy on the bottom is actually just the worst loser there is, you just need someone to lay there. Like, you just, like, someone has to lay down. So, like, that's who that person is.
There's got to be a skill set around it. Like, you're really good at pushing off early, or the weight makes a difference. I'm sure there is actual mathematics around physics of why the certain person is there, but I do believe the top person drives.
Did you see the announcement that we are getting Ronda Rousey versus Gina Carano in an MMA fight?
Yeah. I did not care. Should I have cared? I didn't care. It's like a boxing match with Mike Tyson.
You have a 39-year-old and a 44-year-old, both of which have not fought in one well over a decade, the other one in, you know, half a decade. And it's, dude. I don't know how it gets sanctioned. I mean, the reason Rousey retired in the first place was all the concussions she was getting and stuff. So the California Athletic Commission has come out and said they're going to do extensive, you know, additional testing on both of them to make sure that they're good to go. I understand there's a lot of money involved in this. I understand there's politics that gets involved with this. I think if you were just straight up doing this on nothing but actual medical data, there's just no way that this gets sanctioned, dude. Like, there's just no way, but it's probably going to happen. It's probably going to go down.
Is it a UFC fight? Like,
no.
It would be on a UFC fight card, or
Paul
is it just like a little...
The Paul guy's doing it.
Well, that makes more sense then.
Jake, not Logan. Logan is the Logan's the wrestler. Jake is the promoter. So Jake is doing it on his promotion.
Okay.
I mean, I guess. I
would you bet on it? Is it something, or is this something you were not even interested?
It is. If it goes down, it will just be, unless it's, a, here's the other thing. And I would never accuse Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano of this, because they are world-class athletes and certainly at their time or at the peak of their game. But unless there is instruction to make this thing go longer, it's a dead under, because like I said, you have one in Ronda Rousey who has extensive history of concussions, right? So it's like, she either gets knocked out in the first minute and a half of this thing, or she gets a hold of Gina Carano and throws her down and arm bars her in a minute and a half too. You know, so I just don't see how this thing gets out of the first round. If they're playing it straight.
Right. And that is something we've seen concerns in some of these boxing matches. And so that's why I was asking, would you bet it? Because that to me is always one of those question marks in some of these, we'll call it for entertainment fights.
It's the, is it
bettable?
Right. It's the, I will bet an under, but I will bet it at a reasonable number, because if I knew 1,000% that everything was on the up and up, then it would be a much larger bet. But like, you can't, right? Because again, there's,
if this was the UFC sanctioned fight, if this was on the undercard, you'd be on the under.
Instead, you know, it's going to be on Netflix, and you know, Netflix might be like, hey man, we can't have a 45 second main event. Can y'all at least kind of like dance around or something for a little bit, or, you know, I mean, like there's, so I don't know. I hate to say it, but it's in combat sports that we like you said, we saw it in these boxes, like, hey, carry him for four rounds before you go to town. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, carry him for four rounds before you do it. And I mean, we've seen it recently, so can't really get there with that one. All right, Mike, let's get into some baseball talk here. And it is going on, you know, spring training is going on right now. We're starting to get things trickle out. We're really starting to pay attention. If you guys are wondering what we're looking for in spring training, it's not necessarily the performances out of these guys, though you do like to see like younger dudes have good spring trainings, and certainly younger guys that are on the bubble, that's going to tell whether they actually make break camp or they get sit down to Triple A. But like, where are these guys hitting in the lineup? Like where, you know, like did a guy make a massive shift? Last year he hit seventh all year long. Now he's hitting fifth. Or there's a guy, wow, that guy's hitting leadoff for them for the first few games of spring training. Like, that's kind of what I go through with these box scores every day. It's like, what are these teams kind of thinking with these guys? What is it likely to look like? What does that do for their value from a season-long prop standpoint for some of these guys as well? Because again, we're going to get opportunities to take advantage of some of this information that we pick out of these box scores and stuff. And so that's, for me, if a guy gets lit up in spring, I don't care, because they're working on pitches half the time. They're just trying to get their arm in shape, like all that. Like, don't read too much into the individual performances specifically of like veteran guys. Cause a veteran guy might be like, you know what? I'm going to tinker around with a sweeper all spring training and see if I can throw one, or I'm going to try to work a two seamer in and see if I can throw it to, you know, like there's a lot of that. We hear it every year.
Yeah, from a veteran perspective, I take almost nothing into spring training. I don't care if someone goes out and crushes 15 home runs, if they've been a veteran for 10 years. I don't care if a pitcher gets shelled. Obviously, you'd like them to at least have spurts of pitching well, but it's not something where it's going to drastically change my handicap. To me, the big thing in spring training is it's a lot of it's rookie of the year. Do you have anyone who's like, hey, we thought they'd come up in June. Mm-hmm. Now it looks like they might break with the team. That makes a big difference inside that market, because you get more counting stats, more opportunities. Is there anyone that we thought would start in double A ball or single A ball that all of a sudden is going to start in triple A and has a chance at breaking into the major league roster earlier than we expected? That is absolutely relevant to me when you're looking at those rookie of the year markets.
And one more point to that, Mike, with the rookie of the year stuff specifically too, is in, if you think a pitcher can win rookie of the year and you like any of these pitchers. So where I will care about a guy getting shelled, if he's kind of the borderline fifth rotation guy, if he's like number five, and it's like, he may or may not make, like, you know, then I do care, because like you said, then a rookie might actually get that fifth spot, and then it drastically changes his odds percentage, because some of these markets are priced on these dudes thinking that they are going to start in AAA, like thinking that they are going to start in the minors. And if we get the advantage that they're actually going to be up from the get go, well, then those are other opportunities we can take advantage of.
And that was the next part is the four and five starters. Mm. Those are the pitchers I care about, because they're not trying new stuff.
No.
They are trying to prove that they deserve the 4 and 5 starter spot right out of the gate. And to me, those players, when you're looking at season long bets, like divisional bets, they are incredibly relevant. They may not be relevant when it comes time to the playoffs, but they, if they're out there every 5 days, they are drastically changing win totals. They are drastically changing the division odds, because those 4 and 5 starters, they have like, obviously the one, the stopper, great to have. But if your 4 and 5 starters pitch like a 3, that makes a massive difference over the course of 162 games. I also think it's interesting to watch those bottom of the rotation battles as well. If you do have a younger player who's able to step into that 5 spot, you've got some upside for that team in my mind, because they believe he is ready. That means that you're replacing a 5 with a younger guy that maybe is a 2 or a 3 down the road, but could pitch like a 3 or a 4 right out of the gate. And if that happens, that also gives a team specific upside as well.
Yeah, some dudes with like tons of swing and miss, like I will kind of look at that too. Like, are they still striking out a ton in spring training or whatever? Because like that, I think needs to come into play as well with all of that. So you can definitely learn some stuff here from spring training. We'll try to point out any highlights that we see along the way, and low lights as well. I mean, those are some things that will certainly be coming to light. If you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber already, you can go in, you can try us out for as little as $9.99. You get every single thing that we do, including the Major League Baseball betting guide, which is available right now over at VSiN.com. If you are already a pro subscriber, just go in there and download that thing. It is part of your subscription. You get the props, you get the matchup tools, you get the video, the show replays, and of course, you get everything over at the splits page. We know you love all of that. Go in right now, VSiN.com/subscribe, as little as $9.99.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. We are looking at Kansas struggling here in the second half. Mike, down to Cincinnati 5 minutes into the second half. So something for us to keep an eye on here over the next 45 minutes while we're still with these folks.
Yeah, it's surprising. You would expect the Kansas is going to be able to open up in that second half. We're down 2 in the first, and right now struggling. We're under 16, and as you said, down 3 to Cincinnati at home.
Florida does get it done, 94-75 over Ole Miss. St. John's gets it done over Creighton, 81-52 as well. And let's talk about the big college basketball games of the day with Kyle Hunter. You can find his work over at Action, also at huntersportspicks.com. Kyle, appreciate the time.
Hey, happy to be here, guys.
So let's kick things off here with one of the two marquee games today, Michigan and Duke over there in D.C. as we sit right now. Still sitting 2.5 in favor of Michigan, a total sitting somewhere between 150 and 151.5. How do you see this one going?
Well, Michigan's such a well-balanced team. It's really hard for me to find any weakness in their team. They occasionally have played with their food a bit against, like, you know, Northwestern, Oregon, for example. But this team's really, really good. I think Lindeborg's the top 5 player in the country. Mara is obviously a matchup nightmare for anybody. They're blocking more than 16% of their opponent's shots as a team. Fantastic defense. I really like this Michigan team. And guys, I'm going to be honest, that's tough for me to say because I'm a Buckeyes fan. So Michigan, really an excellent team. Team that I would want to have futures on if they have any kind of flip up. They're the team I'm most confident of in the NCAA tournament. Duke on the other side, Boozer's fantastic, superstar already. Tough to find any weakness in his game. Duke is not a great outside shooting team. I think that's their primary weakness. Can Michigan make them shoot it from outside? I think when you look at both these teams, most people would think of these teams and think, oh, points, you know, high scoring. Michigan does play fast, but they're first in the nation in defensive efficiency, and Duke is second. So this is not really a big play for me, but I did place a small wager on the under 151 here in this neutral court showdown.
Now, another one of the marquee games today, we've got the Arizona Wildcats heading into Houston to take on the Cougars. It's an Arizona team that started 23-0, but just 1-2 over their last 3. However, those losses were at Kansas and an overtime loss to Texas Tech. We saw this line open at 3.5 in favor of the Cougars, and it's been pushed all the way out to 6.5 in this spot. What are you looking at here with Arizona and Houston?
Well, I mean, you give me Arizona at Houston, and I think I want to bet Houston, but 6.5, guys, this is a massive line. I mean, this line is really ballooned. That's a ton of points to be laying against a good Arizona team. Arizona doesn't shoot it from the outside too often. They go down in the paint. Houston does defend around the hoop very well. I'm a bit concerned about Arizona's offense and how efficient they can be in a game like this. I think their best chance to score could be getting offensive rebounds and putbacks. Houston is below average on defensive rebounding. We've seen some of the key games lately where they haven't been able to get a key defensive rebound. Arizona is just 223rd and away from home performance, according to Haslametrics. So I don't know that I really want to trust them too much, but 6 or 6.5 points is too much for me to lay. Houston has been amazing first half defensively, especially at home, guys, giving up 22.6 points per first half at home this year. Nobody else in the country is lower than 25.8. So if I had to bet Houston in some way, rather than laying the points here, I'd take Arizona first half team total under 31.5. I do lean under for the game as well, but the first half team total under for Arizona, I realize that they're a much tougher offense to face than what Houston usually faces, but Houston's really clamped it down on defense in the first half, and I think there's a decent chance they do it again here.
Talking to Kyle Hunter, you can find his work at Action also over at huntersportspicks.com. We have Iowa State heading to Provo to take on BYU as slight favorites here. Total sitting somewhere in that kind of 154.5 range. What do you see in this one?
I mean, this could have been an even more exciting game were it not for BYU being shorthanded. They're still going to be tough to beat at home, but Richie Saunders is a huge loss, especially for their future prospects. He does so much for the team. Iowa State's defense versus BYU offense here is a must-see TV. Iowa State's really not been very good away from home, 300th in away from home performance. BYU usually takes a lot of outside jumpers, but their biggest advantage in this game is near the hoop. I want to see if they adjust and get to the basket here, if they can get putbacks. Iowa State's offense is 12th in the conference in turnover percentage on offense. They really need to clean it up a bit with the turnovers on offense. But to be honest, this is not really a game I want to bet. It's one that I'd want to watch more. But BYU at home is fantastic. Love watching the home atmosphere there for BYU. And Iowa State's a team that has higher long-term prospects, but I don't know that I want to lay the points here on the road.
You got a couple of bets coming up from a mid-major game that's about to tip off here. Utah Tech heading into Tarleton to take on taking on Tarleton State. Tarleton State here, a 2.5-point favorite in this spot. What do you like here between Utah Tech and Tarleton State?
Yeah, listen, anybody that's followed me knows that I love to go way under the radar, way deep into the weeds. This is definitely one of those games. I feel like there's some real value to be found in the way under the radar games. Tarleton is a shell of former self without Dior Johnson and Cam McDowell, who are not likely to play in this game. They haven't played the last few games. They had scored 65 points or less in 6 straight games before scoring 78 last time out against Southern Utah, who's the worst defense in the conference. Utah Tech comes into this game playing well. They've had some impressive wins on the road lately. I like Utah Tech here, but I'm going to split this wager. I'm going to take half the wager on Utah Tech plus 2.5. And I'm going to take half the wager on Tarleton team total under 71.5. I want to see this Tarleton offense prove they can do it without their top couple guys who average more than 35 points per game. I mean, this is massive losses for them. Yes, they shot well against Southern Utah, but nearly everybody shot it well against Southern Utah. Let's see if they can prove it here. They've slowed down their tempo. They're not getting to the line as much as they were because Johnson's a guy that really gets the line a lot. I like Utah Tech here, but I'm also going to split this wager. Utah Tech plus 2.5 for half of it, and Tarleton team total under 71.5.
All right, Kyle, let's head to Troy in South Alabama. Currently, Troy, a 1.5 to 2-point favorite there in that one. It looks like this total, as my screen is lighting up, which is what you're looking at as well, sitting at 143.5. There is 144.5 out there if you are in the score market. What are you looking at here in this one?
Well, I think this is a fun matchup here in the Sun Belt. You know, styles make a fight, so they say, and the same thing can be in a college basketball game. The first game was 59-49, played to a snail's pace of 60 possessions. South Alabama, a really unique team that forces everyone to shoot loads of threes. Extended zone, you're going to shoot it from long range against this team. Troy's weakness is the three-point shot. They went 13 for 42 in the first game from three. 42 three-pointers. Just, I don't think that's really what they want to do, but South Alabama kind of forces you into that. Both teams excellent at defending without fouling, which is something that I look at pretty closely if I'm wanting to bet an under. You know, and I don't want to parade to the free throw line. The last three games between these two teams have all finished 127 total points or fewer, including that game earlier this year. Like I said, it was 59-49 with 60 possessions. I think the past history of these two teams shows us that it's likely to be another slow-paced game. Troy taking a lot of threes. South Alabama not consistent on offense. I like the under here in this game.
Now let's take a step back and kind of look at the greater scale here. You mentioned Michigan, who's right now plus 310 to win the NCAA tournament. You'd be interested in them if we did see them slip up at some point. Is there anyone further down the board that you think has the opportunity to make a run when we get into March Madness here?
You know, one that I think I could back is a team like probably Florida. I mean, they're not too far down the line. Florida is a team that I think could definitely do it again. If we want to go a little farther down, I would have wanted Texas Tech. Obviously, Texas Tech, not a team that I'd want to bet at this point. Maybe St. John's can make a little bit of a run. I don't think they can win at all, but I like their pedigree. I like Rick Pitino when you get late in the season. Michigan State, another team that I think could with their defense, make a bit of a run. Michigan is my favorite team to win at all, but going under the radar, probably Michigan State or St. John's with the veteran coaching and good defense.
At Kyle Hunter Picks over on the Twitter machine, Action Network, and huntersportspicks.com. Kyle Hunter, appreciate the time, buddy, and good luck.
Thank you, you too.
Boy, Mike, you know, this is why we have guests like Kyle on the show, because you start going down the border like Troy and South Alabama and stuff like that. Like, man, it's to end up on that game, you're doing some handicapping for sure.
Well, I like playing these smaller conferences. First off, you don't get the same volume from books. And so you generally can find advantages in some of these low level games. I also like the rematches. As he mentioned, these two teams played before. It's fun to be able to look through those box scores, look at 3 points variance, look at the rebounding advantages. What is replicatable? What is not replicatable? And then try and find advantages inside those specific numbers. So I like looking at these smaller games, especially the rematches.
Still a lot of basketball to be played, but Cincinnati giving Kansas all they can handle. 49-47 right now, 12.5 left in the second half. And North Carolina just up 4 on Syracuse at the 12.5 minute mark in the first half as well. Let's check on that golf leaderboard and anything else we want to get into the account.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Taking a look over here at the leaderboard at the Genesis. Back at Riviera after taking a year off due to the wildfires. Mike, there's something going on here on this leaderboard where it's starting to really show out as to what, how this course is playing, where you look and you see Rory and Penge and Xander's, by the way, gotten a lot longer, and Aldrich Pottgeiter and Wyndham Clark and Kurt Kitayama and Minwoo Lee. Like, this is playing towards bombers big time. Jake Knapp is 300 through six. Like, length has been a huge factor here at this tournament with the way that the weather played out, not getting any rollout on your drives and stuff. So the guys that just hit it further down there are having more success here than everybody else. I mean, the leaderboard kind of tells the story with this.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. So when you have rain, you're not going to get the roll on the fairway. You're going to be able to shoot directly at pins. So the lower your irons, the better chance you have to be able to stick it really close. And that's why we're seeing the scoreboard come out the way it has. Only bet for me right now, I played Minwoo Lee, plus 165 for a top five. He's currently tied for six, one hole into his round here. But other than that, I'm just watching right now. I know you have a couple outrights that are still alive, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Xander, I've got Adam Scott, and I have Tommy Fleetwood. So, I mean, I've got three guys.
Somebody.
I've got three guys in it. Yeah, I mean, I got three guys in it, and yet I sit here and I just, when you look and you see that it that Rory's above them, and it's just, you know, in the way that this course is playing, I don't feel great about it. That said, Fleetwood did get an early birdie here. So, I mean, he is sitting eight under. We're at T6 there with him, and Xander and Adam Scott just teed off, and then we'll get the leaders here right after them in Bridgman and Pinge. So we'll kind of see what's going to be going on here with this one. But I imagine it could be an interesting day for, it could be an interesting day for Rory. If he's got his irons at all dialed in with his length, it could be something special.
I asked you at the start of the show. I'll ask you again now. If you didn't have any tickets right now on this golf tournament, you can get Rory plus 190. Is that the play?
I guess the fact that there are, since there are two other guys ahead of him and the fact that Xander and Adam Scott are chasing him, I don't know we're going to get, unless he goes nuclear, which he might, but I don't know if we're going to get that much worse of a number tomorrow, and we'll have a whole nother round of sample size, like, in our pocket, you know? Now, look, Pinge and Bridgman could just completely fall off, and then you don't get anywhere near this number, but one of the two might. It's hard for me to believe, it seems like the way the course is playing today, that both of them do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you're saying hold off one more day.
Yeah.
Maybe you get plus 150 tomorrow, but it's a two-man tournament versus this five-man tournament, right? And then you can take advantage of it then.
And if you really love Rory, you're probably rooting for Xander and Adam Scott to have days today too, because that would also make the algorithm give you a better number. If you have proven dudes that also are competing on Sunday, that's going to help your number on Rory. So if you do love Rory, you should be rooting for Xander and you should be rooting for Adam Scott today.
Yep. Nope. That makes sense. All right. So we will pass on the Rory 2-1 plus 190 plus 195, depending on where you shop right now, for the outright winner. Assume you have no tickets. We'll have to get something in the account on these top guys when we talk tomorrow morning, though, since it does look like we've got one little sweat right now in Minwoo, but I'd like to have another.
Another NBA bet that I made, Mike, over the course of the week was an under on the Warriors. And the thing was, is we, if you listen to Steve Kerr talk, and then of course it gets solidified a day later, he said nobody knows Steph's body better than him. He's not ready to come back. And then he kind of slipped in right at the end, like, you know, and we might need to get another MRI, you know, just to make sure and all of that and everything. And I was like, maybe get another MRI. And I was like, what? This does not sound good, you know? And then you go and you look and you see where they sit. They're basically locked into the play-in. Right? Like, the teams below aren't going to make it in. They're probably not going to go on a run to get out of the play-in to get to the sixth seed. And so there actually is no real rush to get Steph back if you are actually going to try to play this postseason and do anything, right? Which it seems like that they are. So then we get the word that, like, he's, you know, shut down for another 10 days at least. And then they will do the whole reevaluation again with him on that. I think even numbers now, I would still be in on the under with the Warriors. Cause like I said, there's a chance to me that they go to him in 10 days and he's like, you know, I'm 90% there, but I'm not 100% there. And then they say, well, then let's just take another week off because we're in the play-in no matter what. Right. And so, like, we're not even going to take a chance on you getting back out there and re-injuring this thing if we're actually going to try to do anything in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, they're currently sitting in the eighth spot. They're 13 and a half back of the lead in the conference, but they are 5.5 back of the sixth spot. So unlikely to make up 5.5 games. They also have a 7-game edge on the Memphis Grizzlies, who moved away from some players at the deadline.
Who don't really want to
stay
win.
In the playoff.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, like, it would be hard for them not to be in this playoff position. You want to be 7 or 8, so you have the one game to win and you're into the playoffs and be that 7th seed. But at the same time, it doesn't feel like this is a Golden State team that's going to rush Steph back in this spot because you're going to be in the play-in. It's just a matter of what seed you end up with.
So that to me was one that I was, that I still feel pretty good about now, even because, like I said, I just don't think that this is a team that's, they know where they sit right now, Mike. I mean, they are going to try to get these last couple of years. They're going to try to do something in the offseason. I don't know what it is. I know that everyone keeps floating Giannis out there and all of that. I don't think if you're Giannis, you're going to Golden State. No. I mean, like, it would be awesome. I'm sure Giannis has a great amount of admiration for Steph Curry, but he also has to know that he's got, like, maybe 2 years left tops, you know? And I just can't imagine that that's going to be the place that you want to kind of go plant your flag when you're like, hey, get me out of here. And then you go to a place where, again, your best case scenario is that you have a 2-year run.
And on top of that, like what the bidding for Giannis is going to be much more aggressive over the summer because of the assets available to teams. What's the Golden State package look like? What's the player or the pick that is that huge value piece? There isn't one. They just don't have that piece. For me, it's hard pressed to even see what that deal would look like.
Do you know where I think Giannis is going to end up? Where do you think he's going to end up? And then I'll tell you where I think.
I'm not sure. I don't see the easy fit for anybody. Like the Knicks, I think make some sense, but I don't see the assets coming back. Mm-hmm. I think that the teams that have the assets are like Oklahoma City and Houston and New Orleans. And like, maybe Houston is the one that pulls the trigger. Detroit actually has the assets. I'm not sure Detroit does that deal though.
I don't think they trade him anywhere in the East.
San Antonio has the assets.
So if they can keep from it, I don't think they trade him anywhere in the East, which is why one of the teams you just said, I think he ends up in Oklahoma City. I really do. I think they're going to partner him up with Shea, and they will have to give up one of either Jalen Williams or Chet Holmgren as part of the deal. You know, it's probably they're probably going to offer Jalen Williams, Lou Dort, and then like whatever the three firsts or whatever it is, you know, and all of that. I would imagine the Bucks would rather have Chet. Now, are they going to part with Chet? I don't know. You know, I don't know. Like, it depends on how many championships do you think you can win with SGA and Giannis? And then that decides whether you think that you want to get rid of Chet or not. But I think he ends up in Oklahoma City. I really, really do. I don't think they want to trade him in the East. So it's kind of like, if you happen to meet him again, you meet him, you know, in the finals. And I think that Oklahoma City is going to use all those assets that they've accumulated over the years. They're going to use these young players that they've got. And I think he ends up with the Thunder, and we start talking about a Thunder dynasty. I can't even believe it, but it just makes the most sense.
At some point, I realize they have to, this sounds crazy, they have to go all in. Like they have to move all of these assets for something big, right? Because you're going to run into a problem where you're not able to manage the team properly because you are so deep, and you're going to lose players for nothing because of the cost to keep them. And so you're in a situation where you kind of have to make some type of move where you give up a massive amount of assets for one big piece. Giannis makes sense as that piece. We'll see if it is we'll see if it is Oklahoma City that decides to make that move. He doesn't want to go there. I don't know how much that's going to matter though. Whether or not going to Oklahoma City to win titles makes up for being in Oklahoma City, because he's mentioned he wants to be in New York, LA, one of the bigger cities.
Guys, if you do not have the Upside app already, what are you doing? Go in, get paid for the gas that you're getting anyway. And by the way, if you go in, download that Upside app and use the promo code Saturday, you're going to get an extra 25 cent back on your every single gallon on your first fill up. And so if you are watching us over on the YouTube TV, scan that little QR code right there to get the Upside app. And if you're if you're driving along, pull over safely, wherever you're at, whatever it is, but download the Upside app from your app store of choice. Be sure and use a promo code Saturday. That's going to get you an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. There's no reason not to do it. Get paid for the gas that you're getting anyway over there with Upside. Yeah, Mike, I know it's not sexy to end up in Oklahoma City, but if you start doing this and your hand is just filled up with rings, I think it could make up for it. You don't have to live there year round. You just live there during the season. Go live wherever you want to. You want to live in New York? Go live in New York. You know, just one of those. In my opinion, I think I would take the winning. Some final baseball thoughts, all the bets in our accounts, and update the scoreboard. Here it is, the final segment coming up.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Scotty Scheffler lines up for par on 18 to shoot 5 under on the day, and it is in the hole. So Scotty Scheffler is going to wrap up with a 66 here in round 3. So the opening round 74 comes back with a 68 yesterday, and now a 66 here today for Scotty Scheffler. My guess is as Herculean as this man is, this is going to be too much, because these guys are going to gain even more ground on him. And there's just no, you know, he's not shooting 56. He's not shooting or anything like that tomorrow.
It is likely he's going to be 10 back.
Yeah.
Right. And if we're 10 back, that's going to be very, very hard to make up, considering you're going to see somebody score on Sunday as well. So probably top 10, really the realistic.
Those are the type of bets you should be looking at for him. Yeah.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. Top 10, probably the realistic upside here, because it's not like last week where we saw the weather come in late and maybe that screws up the people who are teeing off late. This is going to be a pretty fair golf course early and late tomorrow. So hard pressed to see if he's going to be able to get the job done. Ryan Fox, 3 under through five. He has jumped up the leaderboard now at 9 under, tied for fourth. And Kurt Kitayama also moving forward 2 under through three. So he has joined that, that smorgasbord of players sitting there at 9 under.
Las Vegas local Kurt Kitayama. So go get it done out there. I see him from time, to time. Makes a different sound when he hits it. Most of these guys, it makes a difference.
I bet.
Makes a different sound whenever they, whenever they hit it. It is no longer a giving them all they can handle situation, Mike. It is a full on upset watch now, as Cincinnati holds a 66-58 lead under 6 minutes left in this game. Darren Peterson has played 28 minutes in this thing, has 17 points, but he is 1 of 7 from downtown, Mike. And so that, of course, is one of the things that everybody loves about Darren Peterson. He shoots it so well from deep, but 1 of 7 here in this one, and his team going to have to do some rallying as they are down here 6 points with 6 minutes left.
Yeah. Time to wake up. If you are Kansas, it is 66-58 there at the under six timeout here. So this is a spot where they lost the first half 36-34, and the second half just not much better. 30-24 right now in the second half for a team you're kind of expecting to make that home run in the second half there. So Kansas uses their timeout, see if they're going to be able to get it going. North Carolina has opened up against Syracuse. That was a close game. Now North Carolina up 11 there at Syracuse. Nebraska taking care of business against Penn State. They are up 14 in the first half. Early Vanderbilt up 5 over Tennessee. Virginia up 3 over Miami late in the first half there. Louisville doubling up Georgia Tech midway through the first half, 28-14. And Texas Tech up early on Kansas State, 12-7.
So as soon as we are done here, that's going to be Arizona and Houston as we sit right now, Mike. I want to make sure that I'm giving the accurate odds here. And it is 6.5 everywhere except FanDuel and Circa. And as soon as I say that, it flashes at Fanatic. So we are flat 6 at Circa. If you're in a Circa market, flat 6 at Fanatics. And if you're in a Fanatics market, we are a heavily juiced 5.5 at FanDuel, and then we're 6.5 everywhere else. 141.5 out to 142.5 are total there in that one. So some action here is this one about 15 minutes from tip. We are seeing the screen start to light up and people starting to come in and taking a position.
And we talked about this game quite a bit during the show. This was a game that opened Houston -3.5, and it's just been consistently bet on the Houston side. I agree with the move, but we've gone too far for me to want to be able to bet Houston still at this point. So at 6.5, it's a pass. We'll see, like if let's say Arizona gets out early and I can get a cheap Houston price, I would be interested in Houston in game, but it would be Houston or pass for me, but the 6.5 a little too rich.
Mike Somich, we are heading to Santa Anita and Turfway. At Santa Anita, we are going to race number one with a horse with a very good name.
Yes, we are about 40 minutes out from the first at Santa Anita. We're going to go with the number 4 horse, Third Beer, here in this spot. This is a return to State Bred Company and second off the layoff. The first off the layoff was a stakes race in which the pace was just not right for Third Beer. He wants to come from off the pace. That was a very slow pace early, very fast late. He's looking for the fast pace early that I expect him to get today to be able to roll late to the victory. Number 4, Third Beer, in the first race at Santa Anita, 3-1 on the morning line.
Then to Turfway, you said, hey, just be aware if you're looking. Yes, these races are late. They are later this evening, so don't freak out when you look and think that your app is wrong. These are going to run at night here. We're going to go to race number 9.
Yeah, 9:55 post time on the East Coast here, 6:55 in the Pacific time zone. Race number 9, the John Battaglia Memorial Stakes here. This is a race that has Derby points on the line, and I'm going to go to the number 4, Kilo Tango, 12-1 on the morning line here. We're going to go for a little bit of an upset. This is a full field. I think it is a wide open race. Your favorite on the rail at 5-2 is a horse that got a very easy trip going gate to wire. There's a lot more speed signed on today. I think that makes his life more difficult, as well as the added distance. I'm going to go for a horse that's going to come from off the pace. Brad Cox has the number 10 in this race. He's 3-1 on the board. Let's go to the bigger Brad Cox price here. The number 4, Kilo Tango, who should be rolling late, at 12-1, Matt.
Aaron Halterman joined us a little bit earlier. He likes Slovakia on the money line. And now he just said, Mike, this was more of a price play than anything else to him. He doesn't think that this Slovakia team, while he does believe that they are the dog, just does not believe that 255, 260 that we're seeing out there in the market is a fair price on them.
Yeah, it's a very big number for a team that probably is better prepared to go into the bronze medal game. Finland, tough loss, being up 2-0 to Canada, thinking that you have a legit shot at the gold medal game and just not being able to hold on. Slovakia have been one of the higher scoring teams in the tournament and also beat Finland in the preliminary rounds 4-1 as well. I agree with Aaron. I think Slovakia should be the dog. I think the price is a little bit out. I think they should be somewhere in the plus 200, plus 220 type range. So I agree with him. I think this is a play, not a big play, but a play on Slovakia tomorrow.
He is going to come in on the US of A as well at plus 105, though you disagree with this one.
I do. I will not bet this. I will be rooting for the US. I had Canada minus 150 head-to-head pre-tournament. Now, the US has been better in this tournament. I think that line has shrunk down. I think Canada should be about 135.
And Canada might be without Crosby. They could be without Crosby.
And that, yes, yeah. And that matters. It yeah. doesn't matter as much as I think most people realize. Like, he's obviously very good at hockey. Mm. The person that's replacing him is Sam Bennett, who won the Conn Smythe last year in the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, that's how deep this Canadian team is. So, yes, it's obviously a drop-off, but it's not as big of a drop-off as I think people talk about. So I have Canada minus 130 right now on my numbers. You could make an argument it should be minus 135. So I do think there is slight value toward the Canadian side. Not enough value where I want to run to the window and bet against my emotions, where I'm going to be heavily rooting for the U.S. So I'll get up tomorrow morning and I will have my red, white, and blue on, be rooting for the USA, but I will not be betting them because I do think the line is a little bit skewed toward the Canada side.
Over in college basketball, he's taking the points with Tennessee. He's laying it with Arkansas, and he is also going to take Michigan in that big showdown as well. So that is Aaron's plays, and of course all the plays you can find over at VSiN.com on the picks page. We had Kyle Hunter with us as well. Kyle Hunter is on the under team total for Tarleton State. He's also on the under in Troy and South Alabama as well. So those are a couple of games that he's on. Did give some thoughts on the other games if you want to go in and listen to the replay. No real official picks for him in those, Mike, but I did have some thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating day of college basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get three bangers today with that Arizona-Houston game that's going to tip right after our show. Then you get that Duke-Michigan game and close it out with Iowa State heading into BYU. We talked the least about that Iowa State-BYU game on the show. It's hard for me to not want to back Iowa State here. This is a BYU team that started out very good, but they rely on the three-point ball. Iowa State defensively, very good. To me, it would be Iowa State or pass, despite being on the road there up in Provo, Utah.
We are now, Mike, at the 338 mark. It is a 13-point lead for Cincinnati. With the way Kansas sits right now, I mean, they're 26 on the season with the losses that they have. I mean, this is like a, you're going to go down a seed in the tournament type loss. Like, this is not just like a, oh, ho-hum, like you lose randomly in the middle of the season. Like, this is, you lose a seed type loss.
Yeah, you look back at some of these losses and they're kind of head scratchers. Yeah. I mean, okay, you lost to Duke and UConn and you lost to Iowa State, all which were number five in the country at the time, fine. But like at UCF, that's not a great loss. At West Virginia, that's not a great loss. And now you got Cincy at home. So you've got some real stinkers throughout the schedule here for Kansas now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty bad loss for them for their resume. I mean, like you're talking maybe moving off of the kind of like three seed even. Line.
Yeah. I at this point, you like without, I would say we're talking maybe moving out to five. Like yeah. this is going to not be a Kansas team that to me is judged very highly. However, they still have the Big 12 tournament. They could change things up there, but this is double digit
favorites and they're getting beat by double digit. You know, I mean, double digit favorites that are getting beaten by double digits as we sit right now. So it is certainly something that I think the committee will consider for sure as they, put everything together over there. Rory McIlroy's birdies one. So he is out to a very good start there. 12 under now, tied with Penge and Bridgman, who are just now getting out on the course. Ryan Fox keeps it going. Mike Somich, 4 under through 6, all the way up to 10 under. Xander birdies number one as well. So he sits at 10 under. Look like we're in for a banger here as a finish over there at Riviera. For Mike, I am Matt. Good luck on all your bets.